Enoch. Then Jared lived 800 years after he became the father of Enoch, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for these wonderful words that lets us know of people of old. And Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings on the remainder of this service. Let each thing that's said be understood by those as you would have. And in your Son Yeshua we ask, and amen. And my text to you is the Genesis 5 and 24. So let's look at this again. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You don't have a whole lot of instances in the Bible where it tells us that God took someone. And that exactly meaning that they did not live out ordinary life. They didn't live to be as old as others at their time of death. And that's very interesting. People were made to walk and talk with God, their Creator, as we see in Genesis 3 and 8. And my message to you today is the walk with God. And you know, when we think on our walk with God, we think of others that also walk and walked in different ways and different directions than what we do. But we have found through experience and through the life of others, we have found that the highest possible happiness and most satisfying sense of self-worth can be had as we walk through life and beyond with our Maker and our Redeemer. Not only did Enoch live a happy life walking with God, but even during Enoch's lifetime, God testified to his mind and his heart that his life was well-pleasing to him, as we read in Hebrews 11 and 5. And just as a bunch of others in the Bible, the New Testament records parts of their lives and gives honor and praise to certain people of old, such as Enoch, such as Abraham, that they had a certain faith in God. And you know, that faith is where one walks with God, is developing that faith. And throughout the Bible, we are encouraged to walk and talk with our God. And let's look at Genesis 6 and 9. Genesis 6 and 9. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. There's two that is spoken of as walking with God. What would it be like to walk with your Creator in a natural sense as well as a spiritual sense? You know, it makes us wonder when we think of Adam and Eve in the garden, because it speaks of the Creator there and conversations that He had with His creation. And we know from that God had requirements that he expected to be made and obeyed. And we find that it didn't take men long. In fact, the very first two people both were found short by God and His commands that He had to him. Abraham was instructed by God in Genesis 17 and 1. God told Abraham, "Walk before me and be blameless." You know, everybody doesn't walk with God and talk with God and yet are found to be blameless. You know what blameless is? If you are found to be blameless, you must be walking in a righteous way. And righteousness means being subject to God and being obedient to God, knowing what He wants you to do, and then doing it. That is righteous living. God promised to walk among His people, and in Leviticus 26 and 12, it reads, "And I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people." God wants us to walk with Him. He commands us to walk with Him, because part of the gifts that He has to us is that we accept His gifts. And you've seen in our Torah portion and heard in that Torah portion how God takes it, obviously, personally. When men and women rebel against Him by not walking in His way, "I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living," the psalmist says in Psalms 116 and 9. And Paul challenged the Roman Christians to walk in the land, to walk in newness of life in Romans 6 and 4. And to the Colossians, he said, "Walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." When we walk with the Lord, it needs to be an ever-growing walk. Each moment of each day of our life, every day and every week, and every month of our life, we should find ourselves growing and growing with God, becoming, in essence, more like God. One of the most inspiring thoughts to be found in all of God's Word is the truth that we were made to walk and talk with God. We are encouraged to believe that God wants to walk and talk with us. He wants us to walk before Him and to follow after Him. He who walks with God walks in the path of certainty and safety, because we know who it is that has given us the instructions, and we know He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't ask of us things that are unworthy. Those who walk with God walks in a happy road of life. For at the right hand of God, there are pleasures and joys forevermore. As we find in Psalms 16 and 11. And those who walk a highway of holiness and beauty that becomes more wonderful as the years go by, as we keep our hearts and minds on Him and obedient to Him. The walk with God is a walk that is honorable. God will honor those who do so, and others will honor them as they behold their lives, and as a result of what they see in their lives, then their lives are changed for the better. That's the influence that a godly life has on the world about you. You are an example. Other people see how you act, how you react, what you do, what you say, and they can see something different about your life, because your life encompasses a walk and talk with God. Jesus said that those who do the will of God will be honored by God. Let's look at John 12 and 26. John 12 and 26. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Do you want that? Do you want the Father to know you personally and to honor you? The Apostle John declared that he who does the will of God abides forever. Let's look at 1 John 2 and 17. 1 John 2 and 17. The world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. What do you think when you read words like that? It should really stop your thoughts to the point you at least wonder about that. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. Does. Works. Action. Righteous thinking. Righteous doing. The one who does the will of God lives forever. Our scripture reading speaks of Enoch's walk with God. And by an author that is unknown, we have the words, "It is better to walk in the dark with God than walk alone in the light. It is better to walk with Him by faith than walk alone by sight." Let's look at Enoch's walk with God and how it begins. The scripture says that Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. Can you imagine that? Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah for 300 years. Isn't that interesting? That's a long time to walk with one person. And in this case, it was the Almighty Creator. And you can look at that physically, you can look at it spiritually, and I'm sure it's intended primarily to be spiritual. But I'm also sure that for the person walking, it's a natural walk. It's a physical walk. It can be looked totally that way. And after Enoch walked and begat Methuselah, he begat other sons and daughters. You know, it's an interesting thing that along the time that it speaks these things of Enoch walking and talking with God, and with the implication being he walked with favor with God, and he walked in God's will. And along about this same time is the time that he had sons and daughters. And it's significant and a happy hour when a home is blessed by children. Parents should give serious thought to the course of their conduct as they face the responsibility of teaching and trying to inspire their children. Seemingly, the birth of Enoch's children was also the beginning of a wonderful relationship and fellowship with him. And parents should be very careful not to do or say or act in some way that would influence their children and it be negatively and influence them to go in another way, to lead them, in essence, astray from their walk with God. And the best insurance that parents can have against doing so is to begin to realize that they must devote their lives to God. And each day, they should find themselves growing toward God. And of course, ones that have not already give their hearts and lives to God certainly need to do so. Some do not begin to walk with God until after they have fallen deep into sin and realize just how tragic the outcome of that is, because we see that some of their lives are wrecked every way by their decisions not to walk and talk with God. The path away from God is always downward. It's always negative. It always leads to disappointment and destruction. And if you are conscious of guilt and failure in this regard, and if life has lost its beauty and happiness, then you should seriously consider returning to God in repentance and faith. Some don't realize until after they have fallen deep into sin and see the wreckage of their life. And others recognize their need to walk with God only when they see the emptiness and barrenness of life apart from him. And the inner cry or urge of the soul cannot be satisfied by the sawdust the world offers, but only by the bread of life that heaven has to offer. There's so many ways to live your life apart from God. And the materialistic world, with all its honors and all of its rewards, cannot bring that peace and lasting happiness to the soul that only comes from God. Everybody that I know is searching for things that they don't have. Some of them are materialistic, and then others are spiritual. But it seemed like close to the top of the priority of most people is that they want to have that feeling of self-worth. Self-importance, what you think about yourself and how your life is going, whether or not you're having a positive influence on others about you, and for parents, for sure, their children. And some only resume their walk with God when tragedy seems to strike or afflictions happen. Something jars their thinking and jolts them back into the reality of how they're living their life apart from God. But isn't it a shame that they have to, some have to reach that kind of point in their life before they begin to come to their senses and really take a close look at how they've been living their life and the choices that they make and the talk that comes out of their mouth and the people that they allow to be around them, influencing them. Sometimes it takes that for some to change their ways. The cares of the world or preoccupation with the pleasures sometimes leads to accidents, illness, or even death. And it's those things sometimes that brings them face to face with the fact that they've not been following their Lord and Savior or their Creator near as close as they should. Other things have taken the priorities in their heart and mind. They're following their Creator. They're following Yeshua, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, from a distance, afar. Other things have taken priority in their lives and in their hearts. But God wants you to know your life is best lived following, walking, and talking with Him. Still others begin their experience of walking with God when the road of their lives crosses the path of some genuine, devoted, sincere, dedicated Christian person. Sometimes that's what it takes to make you look at yourself. And then you see how others seem to have such a joy and a happiness almost all the time that you see them. And you see that that's missing in your heart and your life. And you come to know and realize that you need to change the way you're living your life. It needs to have priorities changed. And in essence, it when you look at others that are walking and talking with God, then you realize that you must try to draw closer to God because of that hunger that you have to have God in your life in that extent. Some hear the call of God to an exciting and satisfying walk as they read the pages of the Book of Truth, this wonderful, inspired Word of God. The Bible was written and does reveal your Creator, and it reveals it most accurately and most truthfully and most sincerely through the life and the walk of Yeshua, the only begotten Son of God the Father. In one way or another, the invitation comes, "He that hath ears, let him hear." Everyone is invited to walk through life with God. It's better to walk in the dark with God than walk alone in the light. It's better to walk with Him by faith than walk alone by sight. Secondly, Enoch's walks with God expands. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. He not only made a wise and good beginning to walk and talk with God, but he also followed through. On the good days and on the bad, he walked with God. On the days of joy and the days of sadness, he walked with God. On the days of prosperity and on the days of depression, he walked with God. On days of ease and on days of hardship, he walked with God. Enoch's life was not easy. He lived in an evil age. The wickedness of the people was so great that it grieved the heart of God that he had even made humankind. Lust was the basis for marriage, and violence was prevalent. You know, the Word of God lets you know that violence had filled the earth not that long after things begun. It had filled the earth to the extent that it was only on the heart by far the majority of the people, continually getting more evil and more evil. Compromise, I guess you would say one word but has multiple truths, compromise, was the thing of the day. And even though the society then was corrupt, Enoch continued to walk with God. Enoch was able to walk with God because he put his faith in God, and he found God to be worthy and faithful. He was acquainted with God. He was in agreement with God. He was the friend of God, and God was his friend. He believed that God loved him, and he found through experience that God did love him. Nothing in the scriptures would let us know anything other than God, that Enoch walked his life in the normal way, just like you or I. The scriptures do not say that Enoch sat with God. It says that he walked with God for 300 years. And likewise, we must find ourselves walking and hopefully talking and God with us. And finally, we read of Enoch's walk with God for eternity. And we read in Genesis 5 and 24, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." His life was eternally crowned with glory by his entrance into the life of perfect fellowship with God. Heaven, someone has said, is where God is. And if you walk in the here and now with Him, then joy and peace can be yours both here on this earth as you live your life and forever in heaven. As we walk with God, we walk in heavenly places now. We walk a much higher and happy road than others about us that don't have God, that don't walk and talk with God. Heaven is but a continuation into a higher and richer form of the heavenly walk here on this earth. And I would say to anybody here in this message today that if you are tired of walking in the way of sin and in the way of rebellion, loneliness, weakness, and failure, it's time for you to come to your senses and begin walking with your Creator, walking with Yahweh and His only begotten Son, Yeshua. Put your hand in the nail-scarred hand and give your heart to the one who shed His blood so that you would forever have that way to make your decision to be part of the family of God. Give your heart to Him and walk your life with Him. And then one day you can walk through the curtain called death into the Lord's presence and His loving care, awaiting the great and mighty day of the Lord. Don't you want to be a partaker in the family of God? And don't you want to get to that point that however your end may be, that you know that you have been found worthy of entering in to the presence of the Lord and in His care? If you would, stand with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this day and we thank You for each one that's here. And Heavenly Father, we ask You to work this message into the hearts and minds of each one that is heard and let it affect those changes that You have for them. And Heavenly Father, we ask Your blessings on them. And through Yeshua's name, we ask all these things. And amen. And let's read the blessings of the Lord to us and our words to each other. Let's read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Amen. Let's have our